six worships. Those that will worship him in spirit and truth.
Welcome to the Father's Call.
Welcome to this edition of Father's Call, brought to you through the auspices of Father's House Bible Church. And speaking on behalf of the church is the senior pastor, Dr. Lee. Today I am going to be speaking to you from the theme, The Rich Man, Poor Man. And the text is taken from the book of Luke, chapter 16, verses number 19 to 23. And I read, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fed sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham far off and Lazarus in his bosom." Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we know that these words were written to us who live at the end of the ages. We know that these words were written so that we can be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, so that we can give glory to your holy name. So our Father in heaven, show us your glory. Show us your glory in these words, so that we can be like your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are all familiar with this parable, the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. It is one of the passages that leaves an indelible impression on the mind. It is like the parable of the prodigal son. Once you read it, you cannot forget it. The story is so breathtaking that as we read it, we forget that we are readers, and sooner we become onlookers and witnesses of the event. As we witness the story, we are captivated by the rich man's opulence. I mean, his wealth, his abundance and affluence, his banquet, sumptuous, his clothes, purple and fine linen, his gates, his burial. Then we see the poor man Lazarus, his state of poverty, beggar in the rich man's gate, the sores, the dogs, and the crumbs. We see the two deaths. We see the ministering angels. We see the bosom of Abraham. We see fire, the gulf. We also see the hopeless remorse of a foolish man. I pray that the Holy Spirit will lead us into the truth of this parable. Let me say this to you, that God allots to different men different conditions. I want you to notice that our Lord here is speaking about a rich man and a beggar. Our Lord is speaking about two different men in two different strata of life. If you like, two men, one in the very lowest class of life and the other in the very upper class. Our Lord is not denouncing either poverty or riches. He describes the circumstances of a wealthy man and the circumstances of a poor man. Our Lord does not condemn the positions of this man. He contrasts between the two men. Here is one who possessed abundance of this world's good things, was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fed sumptuously every day. That's verse 19. Here is another who has literally nothing. A diseased, half-starved pauper, sick and a beggar. He lives at the rich man's gate full of sores and begs for crumbs. Remember, both are the children of Adam. Both came from the same dust and belong to one family. Both are living in the same town, same country, under the same government. And yet, how different is their condition? Let us remember that the rich are not always bad men and do not always go to hell. The poor are not always good men and do not always go to heaven. we must not rush into the extreme of supposing that it is sinful to be rich. We must not run away with the idea that there is anything wicked in the difference of condition described here, that God intended for all men to be equal. There is nothing in this parable to warrant any of this condition. Our Lord is simply describing things the way they are. We hear the saying that all men are born equal. That may be true, but sooner or later, they are not equal. Universal equality of men is an interesting philosophy with the wise men of the world. There are people who think that men ought to be equal. Almost in every age, you hear speeches of men stirring up the poor against the rich. That is how communism gained grounds in certain countries of the world. Men are preaching the popular doctrine that men ought to be equal. The truth is, so long as the world is in the present order of things, in depravity, this universal equality cannot be attained. So long the world is the way it is today, this equality cannot be prevented. So long as some are wise and some are foolish, some strong and some weak, some healthy and some diseased, some lazy and some diligent, some favored and some not favored. I mean, some born again and some not born again. So long as children reap the fruit of their parents' misconduct, so long as sun, rain, heat, cold, wind, waves, droughts, storms are beyond human control, there will always be some rich and some poor. All the political economy in the whole world will never be able to make all men equal. Deuteronomy 15:11 says, "For the poor shall never cease out of the land." Take all the property in the Federal Republic of Nigeria today and share it equally to every man above 20 years. Let everyone take his or her share and let us all start afresh. And after 50 years, come back to take inventory of the status of everybody. You will come back to exactly where we started from. Some would have walked and some would have been idle. Some would have been careless and some scheming. Some would have sold and others would have bought. Remember Jacob and Esau. Esau sold his birthright for a mess of pottage. Some would have wasted and others would have saved. At the end, we will still have poor men and rich men. Don't listen to those foolish talkers who say that all men are meant to be equal. They can as well tell you that all men ought to have the same height, the same weight, the same strength and cleverness, or that all palm trees ought to be of the same height and width. Settle it in your heart that the main cause of all of the suffering in this world is sin, depravity. Sin is the cause of the enormous luxury of the rich and the painful degradation of the poor. Sin is the reason for heartless selfishness of the rich and the helpless poverty of the lowest. In order for all of us to come to that position of universal prosperity, the devil must be bound. The Prince of Peace must come back and take his great power and reign. No method of government or man will ever be able to bring peace, prosperity, and happiness to this world. You cannot expect perfection from imperfection. There is no statesman, either in this country or in any country, that will succeed in ruling. No one is ordained to succeed. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the only one that is ordained to succeed in government. Isaiah 9:6 says, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. We are all called upon to help the poor in our midst. But never forget that you live in a fallen world. Sin is all around you and the devil is around. Remember also this symbol of the rich man and Lazarus are the two classes of people which will always be in the world until the Lord comes. A man's position on earth is not a test of the state of his soul. It is not a sign of his spirituality. The rich man in the text appears to have been the world's ideal of a prosperous man. If the life that he is living now were all, he seems to have had everything that the heart of a man desires. We know that he was clothed in purple and fine linen, fed sumptuously every day. Certainly, he had everything which money can buy. The wisest of all men says, money answereth all things in Ecclesiastes 10:19. But if you look deep into this story, you will see that the rich man was actually poor. Take away the good temporal things of this life. You will see that he has nothing left. Nothing after death. Nothing beyond the grave. Nothing in the world to come. With all his riches, he had no treasure laid up in heaven. With all his purple and fine linen, he had no garment of righteousness. This is a warning to people who come to church seeking only to be rich. With all his learned and powerful friends, he has no advocate at God's right hand speaking on his behalf. Is it not true that rich men have advocates? Not just one advocate, many advocates, so that when they fall into trouble, they have an advocate in this world. But look at this rich man. In spite of all the wealth that he has no single advocate in heaven. With all his sumptuous fare, he has never tasted the bread of life. With all his splendid palace and his houses in London, Paris, New York, Florida, and Dubai, he has no single room in heaven. Don't you see that this man is in fact a poor man? Without God, without Christ, without faith, without grace, without pardon, without holiness, he lives to himself for a few short years and then goes down hopelessly into the pit. How hollow and unreal was all his prosperity. Lazarus, on the other hand, had nothing. It is a case of great mystery and destitution. He had no house, no money, no food, no health, maybe no clothes. He laid at the rich man's gate covered with sores. He desired to be fed with crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Proverbs 14:20 says, the poor is hated even of his neighbor. If you look deep, you will see that, in fact, Lazarus was not a poor man, but a rich man. He was a child of God. Not all poor men are children of God. Our Lord is concerned here to show the attitude of men to money. There are some poor people today who would do worse things when they become rich. Is it not true that there are people we know very well who were hopelessly poor and somehow went into politics and became wealthy overnight, only to behave even worse than the richest man we have ever seen in our whole lives? Wicked, high-handed, as if they had never known poverty. I am saying to you that Lazarus was in fact a rich man. He was an heir of glory, a partaker of God's nature. He possessed the most expensive garment the garment of righteousness, not that garment of purple and fine linen. His name was in the Lamb's book of life. His place was prepared for him in heaven. He had the best friends, God, Jesus, and the innumerable company of angels, the saints, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and David. The best food eyes have not seen, nor ears, even has the mind imagined what God has prepared for his children. His friends were there to take him beyond the grave. We can, in fact, call him rich Lazarus and not poor Lazarus. We should do well to measure all men by God's standards, not by the amount of their income, but by the condition of their souls. When the Lord God looks down from heaven and sees the children of men, he takes no account of the things which are highly esteemed by the world. He does not look at men's money or lands or titles. The Lord looks at the state of their souls and reckons them accordingly. Oh, that you will value the grace of God above titles or intellects or gold. The value of a man does not consist in his belongings. Let me say this to those so-called men of God. The value of a man of God does not depend on the size of his church. It does not depend on the number or type of car he drives. It does not depend on the offering that he can raise at a church service. It certainly does not depend on the titles he has, both secular and religious. Let me also say this here. Before now, some men of God struggled for religious titles: apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and pastors. There's probably nothing wrong with that. Then they moved to another level of struggle for titles. What I mean is para-religious titles, like senior apostle, archbishop, JP, papa, mama, and so on. Now, they covet even political titles, like GCON, OBE. Remember, every man is hopelessly poor until he is rich in faith and rich towards God. All the money in the world is worthless compared to grace. A converted beggar is far more important and honorable in the sight of God than an unconverted wealthy bishop or king. The unconverted wealthy bishop or king may glitter like the butterfly in the sun for a little season and be admired by an ignorant world, but his latter end is darkness and misery forever. The converted poor man may be despised by everyone who sees him, but his latter end is a glorious resurrection and a blessed eternity with Christ. Let us not forget that riches and worldly greatness are not the certain sure signs of God's favor. They are often the contrary, a snare and a hindrance to a man's soul. They may make him love the world and forget God. What did Solomon say? Labor not to be rich. Proverbs 23:4. Is it not true? Is it not true that we all labor to be rich? And the Apostle Paul says in 1 Timothy 6:9, he said, they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Let me also say this to you. Poverty and trial are not certain proof that God is angry with you. They are often blessings in disguise. God sends them in love and wisdom. Poverty and trial are often sent to disconnect men from this world. Job 5:17 says, happy is the man whom God corrected. Therefore, despise not the chastening of the Almighty. Paul says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Our great secret of happiness in this life is to be of a patient and a contented spirit. We must remember that this life is not a place of reward. The time for retribution and reward is yet to come. Ecclesiastes 5, it says, if thou seest the oppression of the poor and violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, marvel not at the matter, for he that is higher than the highest regarded and dare be higher than they. The day of judgment is coming. That day shall put all in their right places. That day the difference shall be made clear between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Malachi 3:18. The children of Lazarus and the children of the rich man shall be seen in their true color. Finally, let me say this to you. There are two groups of people in this world until Jesus comes back again: the rich and the poor. The question that I'll ask you is that, do you labor to be rich? Are you living just to be rich? Are you a poor man? Are you conforming yourself to the image of Jesus Christ? What God requires of you and me is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will follow. And now you say to me, Pastor, I am poor and do not know Christ. Or I am rich and do not know Christ. I live in sin and I want to come to Jesus. Now bow your heads and let us pray. Oh Lord, my Father, in all my life I have been poor and in misery and I have never known you. Or you say, oh Lord, my God, I'm a rich man. All my life I have pursued wealth. I have never come to know you. I have come to myself and I know that I'm a sinner. I have stolen before. I have lied before. I have committed adultery before. And now I want Jesus to take the punishment for my sin. Lord, help me. I turn away from my sin and I turn towards you. Come into my heart and stay. Forgive me all my sins. They are too many. Come into my heart and stay. Be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for coming into my heart. For in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
And this word came to you from Father's House Bible Church.